I have 5 points this evening. 5 points, some great principles in the Word of God, things to consider and things to promote to others that they might be more aware of their souls and the destiny that awaits man. 5 points from Scripture that will help us as we seek to introduce folks to the gospel. 5 points that I believe make us all think seriously when it comes to our spiritual lives on a daily basis. First of all, the principle of sowing and reaping. And we find this in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7 through verse 10. The principle of sowing and reaping is one that's with which we're very familiar and has existed in societies from agrarian, the way things used to be so focused and used to have to be part of people's daily routines, that they would take care of their own things that they would have to grow and eat themselves. But sowing and reaping, Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 through 10 says, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. He that sows to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that sows to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, he says, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith." As you're reading along there with me, you know he does not say in this passage, "And so we will earn our salvation." But he does say these things that we might pay attention and understand that there are consequences, sometimes good consequences, to the things that we do. In sowing and reaping, he says that we will reap if we do so. And that itself is a great promise of God, a great principle we find in Scripture time and again. So the principle of sowing and reaping, we can certainly share that with others from Galatians chapter 6 and take it to heart ourselves and apply it so very well in our acts of charity from day to day. Verse 10 says, "As we therefore have opportunity, let us do good unto all men." Point number two, as we would give an account of the thoughts and deeds, the things that we think, the things that we do, we will give an account of these things in the judgment day. In Romans chapter 14, one of the places that tells us about this, you know, we're reminded in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27, it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this comes the judgment. Here in Romans 14, verses 10 to 12, it says, "Why do you judge your brother, or why do you set it not your brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ, as it is written," for it is written, "As I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, every tongue shall confess to God, so then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God." But Jesus himself said that we would give, I think we'll get to this in a few moments, but we will give an account even of the idle words that we speak. But the things that we think, the things that we do are important as we consider eternity. He says what's going to happen in the day that that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess to God. Everyone will give an account of himself to God. We've got that tongue. We've got those knees. We certainly will be a part of that group that will give account of ourselves to God. All men have that appointment. Hebrews 9:27 again. Look also to Ecclesiastes 11, verse 9. Ecclesiastes, the wise Solomon, wrote for us that, "O young man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee." After you rejoice, he says, "Let your heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thine heart, and in the sight of thine eyes. But know thou that for all these things God will bring thee into judgment." So we should live in understanding that God knows all. He is able to see all. We should live knowing that we will give an account to him. We should live knowing that he is there with us no matter where we are. We noted from Bible class this morning the fact that Jonah prayed from the whale's belly. God was able to hear even from the whale's belly. And he was able to be with Jonah and know what was going on with Jonah, and to know the supplications of Jonah's heart even before they were uttered. He was able to know those things, and God is with us and knows the things that we need and ask and so on. But he knows, and we will give an account, and is we will be brought into judgment for even the things that we think in our heart. In Ecclesiastes 12, the next chapter, the last chapter of the book, and the last few verses, last couple of verses, verses 13 and 14, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments. This is the whole duty of man, for God shall bring every work into judgment. With every secret thing, he says there, whether it be good or whether it be evil. And so we are cautioned. We are certainly made aware. Other people need to be made aware that there are things that no one else may know, but God knows. And that we have to be aware that these things will not escape his attention. Be not deceived. You remember Galatians 6. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Galatians 6, first passage we looked at. God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. Well, third point is that our influence is continued after we die. So as we consider eternity, as we consider what we do in this life, consider how some things are perhaps to be weighted in our minds as the things that will persist after we pass on from the life. Our influence is going to continue after death. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 4 says, by faith Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts. And look at this, it says, by it he being dead yet speaketh. So Abel is able to testify. He's able to be an example. He's able to live on in a figure there for us all, that we might understand what it is to have faith, of course, in the context of Hebrews 11, but that we might understand all of the good things that God provides, including instructions on how to worship Him. But God testifying of His gifts, and by it He being dead yet speaketh. Something we should all consider. Look at 1 Kings 15, verses 1 through 3, and these other passages here in 2 Kings, where Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, is mentioned. And every time he's mentioned, even posthumously, he's mentioned, not in a live narrative sense, but he's mentioned looking back and says, Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, he made Israel to sin. The dynasties changed out in the north. The kings came and went, and they were all wicked, but Jeroboam was one that set him on the path of wickedness. And so he got credit time after time there in 2 Kings for being the one who made Israel to sin and told them it was too much for them to go and worship down at Jerusalem as God had instructed. So our influence does continue after we die, and the things that we do, just like we have already talked about, the things that we do, we have to take into account that we'll give an account in the last day. The fourth point is that we have one life to live, and it is a short one. We should live in an urgent sense as Christians, as disciples of Christ, knowing full well we have the greatest example, the highest aspirations, the greatest, highest bar in proprieties, in morality, and so on and so forth. The standards are wonderful, and we have to do our very best to live as we should. We have one life to live, and we can't just squander time. We can't just say, I'll do it tomorrow and put things off and procrastinate. We have one life to live, and it is a short one. Psalm 90, verse 10 says, the days of our years are 70, and if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet it is their strength, labor, and sorrow, and it is soon cut off, and we fly away. And then James chapter 4, verses 13 through 15 remind us likewise that we have not much time. What is your life? He asks the question there. It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanishes away. And we ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. So our life is a short one, and we have to remember that. As for man, his days are as grass and as a flower of the field, so he flourishes. This is Psalm 103, verses 15 to 16. For the wind passes over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. We are ourselves to be looking at what the Word of God says and consider how it reveals to us our own nature. We don't just exist here in the flesh, but we do exist here in the flesh. If we exist here in the flesh and we're in the flesh for a short time and what we do right now matters, we ought to be paying attention to those things that we do and understand how they are relevant to eternity. A lot of people live every day and don't consider the importance of the things that we choose to do, the importance of the choices, the decisions that we make. Well, fifthly, finally, we cannot be neutral. And something to, again, make people aware of. They think they're going to ride the fence. They think they're going to be able to be friends with the world and friends with God. And it's simply not going to be the case. Jesus says and makes it very plain in Matthew 12, verse 30, he that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad. He goes on in Matthew 12, just a few verses later, verse 33 through 35, it says, either make the tree good and his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt. For the tree is known by his fruit. O generation of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. A good man, it says, out of the good treasure of the heart brings forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. And we cannot be just neither good nor bad. Only positive or negative outcomes. These shall go away into everlasting punishment, the righteous into life eternal. This is what Jesus says will happen in the last day, Matthew 25, verse 46. There's only those two possibilities. And John chapter 5, finally, says, marvel not at this, verses 28 and 29, the hour is coming in which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice and shall come forth, and they that have done good, it's to the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil, unto the resurrection of damnation. You know, when Paul preached in Acts chapter 24 to Felix, remember what he preached about? Righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come. We talked a lot about those things tonight. We talked about how that it is important that we be doing good. It's urgent that we be considering our own actions. It's urgent that we look at the facts of the matter in existing in eternity. And when we go to others with the gospel, they need to be made aware of these things. They may know some of them. They may have just put some of these things aside and don't want to think about them, and may have some questions that they're willing to ask, but the Bible is where we go for the answers. The Bible is God's word that tells us about what happens when this life is over. The Bible is what tells us what happens to our souls. The Bible tells us how our souls can be saved. The Bible tells us how that we are to go about and instruct others. And we're to be busy doing just that. We consider these 5 points. I think it will go a long way toward our functioning the way we're supposed to function as members of the body. It goes a long way toward our evangelistic efforts. It goes a long way toward our decisions that we make personally. If we would consider these points, it is most definitely the case. I'll just do a quick review here. That point number one, what we sow is what we will reap. That's what God's word says. Much as people don't want to believe it, that's what it says. That we give an account of the thoughts and deeds. Romans 14, Hebrews 9, 27, 2 Corinthians 5. All these passages tell us very plainly. That thirdly, we have an influence that will continue after we die. And that's for those of us that do pass on before Jesus comes again. And then fourthly, we have one life to live, and it is a short one. The Bible cautions us about thinking that things are just going to keep on going, or that we're going to live forever. Cautions us about just being complacent in our short existence. And then fifthly, finally, we cannot be neutral. We do have a destiny. We do have a judgment that is coming to which we are rushing. I suppose you could be saying it that way. The judgment is surely coming, and that we are going to be judged either with Christ or against him. We're going to be counted among the sheep or the goats, and we are going to be told to come or depart. And so we have great things to consider, and these great principles from the Bible, and a lot of things that, as I said, people do not I'm going to try to get this back operational before I offer the invitation so that I can do that without distraction. I apologize. I got out of the PowerPoint here. That's not it. Get back down to it. Did that one. There we go. Get to say from the current slide. Okay. That's pretty distracting. I think that's right. This evening, the invitation is open to you. It's a very serious matter that we have before us in thinking about the state of our soul. It will be either with Jesus in heaven, or it will be, as we have a prelude to in terms of looking at Luke chapter 16, the torture, the endless pain and agony of hell itself, where we're forever cut off from God and all his blessings. And this, as I said from Matthew 25, is the plain and clear-cut truth from what the Bible says. It's a brutal and honest presentation, if you will, of what the Bible says, and it is something that we all have to come to terms with and come to grips with. And as we would teach others the gospel, let's not try sugarcoating things, or let's not try tiptoeing around the issues that are of such great importance. Let's try rather to stick with the book and what it says. Let's try to be honest with our fellow man about how much God loves him and having sent his only begotten Son to save us. Let's try to be honest with our fellow man about how easy it is to obey the gospel. In repentance, confession, and baptism, we have a means whereby we can access the cleansing blood of Christ. Romans chapter 6, verses 1 through 6. If you have a need to make your life right, you should arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord, Acts 22, verse 16. And if you have that need, won't you let it be known as we sing.